This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. The Iraqi soccer team is now the feel-good story of this Olympics, an underdog squad that's overcome huge obstacles to win two of their three matches. Tomorrow, against Australia, the Iraqis have a chance to qualify for the medal round. Day to Day's Eric Kneeler looks at the team, its fans, and the politics of soccer.
Nobody even expected the Iraqis to be in Athens. The team was slapped together in February after a 10-month absence from international play. The players shared a bumpy practice field with goats after the U.S. Army parked tanks inside their Baghdad stadium. Their head coach, a German, quit because he feared traveling to Iraq. But on Wednesday, MSNBC was showcasing Iraq's match against Morocco with live coverage.
Gets to the end line. Iman Mohamed with a look up. The cross back. Quick shot taken. Iraq scores!
Iraq eventually lost that match, but advanced to Saturday's quarterfinals after beating Portugal and Costa Rica earlier this week. Here in the United States, the Iraqi team has some rabid fans. In the Washington, D.C. suburbs, these young Iraqi Americans play late into the night. 21-year-old Ahmed Razak says he's ecstatic about the team's success.
I've been watching them since I was a kid. When I was born, I was basically born about two blocks from Malab Shab, which is the people's stadium in Iraq and Baghdad. So I grew up with an Iraqi, you know, with the Iraqi soccer team.
College student Omar Ismail says the team's roster reflects the country's diversity.
After all the war and killing and Saddam Hussein and everything, I think it's very united now. Everyone's playing, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, Arab, everyone is playing. So I'm very proud of that, and they're doing a great job.
The difficult situation at home in Iraq could be propelling the soccer team to success on the field. That's according to Franklin Foer, a columnist for Slate magazine and author of a new book, How Soccer Explains the World. He says Iraq's troubled history and current instability makes the team members stronger.
They actually have an edge over other teams because of these broader political currents and because of these feelings of nationalism.
Today's team has risen out of a dark past. Saddam Hussein's son, Uday, ran the Iraqi soccer team and tortured players who did not perform. Now, the team is a product of international donations and some financial help from the U.S. Olympic Committee. Foer says that because many Iraqis oppose the U.S. occupation, American help could become a liability when the team returns to Baghdad.
Do they get treated the same sort of way that the current government in Iraq is treated, which is it's seen largely as a kind of stooge of the coalition, or are they treated as an independent representative of the Iraqi people?
Fearing a backlash, some Iraqi players are keeping political distance between themselves and the U.S. government. Two Iraq soccer players criticized the U.S. occupation this week. They were upset at a new campaign ad by President Bush that celebrates Iraq's Olympic team.
And this Olympics, there will be two more free nations and two fewer terrorist regimes. With strength, resolve, and courage, democracy will triumph over terror.
President Bush himself called the soccer team fantastic at a recent campaign stop in Oregon. Despite all this hoopla, Foer says that, in fact, Olympic soccer just isn't such a big deal.
I wouldn't tell that to the Iraqis, for whom I'm sure it matters and carries a lot of prestige. But for most of the world, it is kind of a JV tournament.
The world's best players have stayed home, according to Foer. They're focusing on the World Cup qualifying tournament or the upcoming European professional season. That doesn't bother the Iraqi-American soccer fans, however, who are enjoying their team's moment on the world stage. For Day Today, I'm Eric Kneeler in Washington.